Go ahead and stand with me if you will. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
I wrote it down there at the end right before we came up here that my sons all sang together. And that's a blessing, guys.
Amen.
A real blessing. I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we need to contend for the faith.
Yes, sir.
As young men and young ladies, for that matter, just like the lady that played the piano, other young men coming up, some of us are getting old. And I'm going to fight till I can't fight anymore. And I think many of you are going to do the same thing. Amen? And boy, if you don't fight for what we have, you're going to lose it.
Yes,
you may not lose your salvation, but you're going to lose some freedoms.
Yes, sir.
And I don't want to get started on politics, so I won't do that. But you blessed my soul.
Amen.
God bless you so very much. It would have sounded better, however, if Daddy was a part of it. Just like when I'm a part of my sons, and I told the story how they cut me out. We were singing together one time, and I couldn't hear me. And I look at the sound booth where Satan abides. How you doing there, Satan? You doing all right? If it's going to mess up, it's going to be in a sound booth. Something with the sound system. All it does. And I thought, well, that, whatever. Didn't turn my microphone on. I checked it, it was on, and tap like that, and he finally, I could hear boom, boom, boom. And I said, so I, boys, finally let my good, deep bass voice. It wouldn't have been as good without it, amen. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to there, with me to Isaiah chapter 59, and while you're turning, I will tell you just a little bit. Some have asked, so I thought I'd just tell you. Sons are all older now. You boys are younger. And our oldest boy is now, what I wrote right down. Miss Honda, you're the deal here. Hang on a minute. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. He's 44. His brother on him is 42. And yeah, tomorrow. He's 45 tomorrow, isn't he? 44. And 42, and then the youngest one's 37. So Miss Honda was very young when she got married. And but we're so proud of our kids. They're all in ministry, and thank God for that. Isaiah chapter, by the way, got to say this before we get, we had a wonderful time at Preacher's House this afternoon. And Miss Audie and I always apologize because we don't ever always go to a church that wants to fellowship a lot. And so if we over-talked or talked you out of whatever, we enjoyed it. I don't know about you. Amen.
Well,
we had a great time, great food, great fellowship, and thank you. Thank you for our ride to Sunday school and church this morning. Where you at? There they are. Thank you for our ride. We enjoyed it and have had a great time today. Isaiah 59. I want to preach a fairly strong message here tonight. You might call it a conference message, and it's not. It's a church message. And you'll understand when we get started. We'll get into more practical things on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. I hope that you'll be here for that. That's usually Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night are usually the workers, the people that are more involved and not condemning or wanting to offend anybody. But that's usually the ones here that'll come throughout the conference. I believe that you're wanting to. I believe you're wanting to be fed. I believe you're wanting something that will encourage you and lift you up and carry you forward into this year. You've still got some time left. Finish out your campaign strong. And see your church grow. Fill up all the pews where you got to go hunting for chairs. Amen?
Amen.
And then later on, build the auditorium a lot. I've already been looking. I think we can probably stretch it this way.
Yes, sir.
Y'all with me? Amen? And but you got to fill up this first.
Yes, sir.
Amen. How many of you like to stretch your church that way? Amen. I'd like to. Well, anyways. Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Aren't you glad he can still save today?
Amen.
Not only save your soul, but save you from a lot of things in your life, from trouble, from sin, things that you get involved in. He can still, listen, his hand is never short. It's always reached that fact. I knew it was going to happen. Holy Spirit got involved in this message tonight. Isn't that pitiful? Isaiah 41. Now, turn over there real quick. You're going to love this. You've heard it before, but we're going to read it again. I love it. Talk about his hand here. I love this. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Boy, it's powerful, isn't it? Look at verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Is that not encouraging?
Amen.
Think about the right hand of God. Christ at the right hand of God. And God said, I'll extend my right hand. And by the way, what we need to do is, listen, quit trying to hold, listen, hold out. And what we need to really be doing is hold on. Okay? Hold on the hand of God. He's given us all these wonderful, encouraging scriptures. And tonight he deals with sin. Look here at verse number 2. Rest of verse number 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. Thank God we can go to him at any time, all day long, all week long, and he'll hear our prayer if there's not sin in our life. But watch this. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Psalmist tells us in Psalm 68, I believe it is, that our iniquities, our sin, is what keeps God from hearing us or our prayers being heard by God. Look at verse 3. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lie, your tongue has muttered perverseness. You think he's talking to a rough crowd here. Do you understand this is God's people he's talking to?
Yes, sir.
Now watch verse 4. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity, speak lie, they conceive mischief, bring forth iniquity. They have cockatrice eggs, they hatch cockatrice eggs, and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Drop down to verse 7 for sake of time. Their feet run to evil, they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the law like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. Not because of God's doing here. This is because of their sin. This is because of their doing. All right? Verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression, revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood or lies, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth far off. I mentioned this morning. Now watch carefully, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Father in heaven, help me tonight. Lord, help to wake us up. Help to stir our hearts, our souls from within. Lord, we live in a world that is in chaos. Spiritually speaking, it's almost dead. And Lord God, for all the other things that are going on, the evil, the wickedness, the death, so many things. And yet our own nation's fallen apart. Lives of God's people has fallen apart. Church members' lives are falling apart. Lord, help us tonight. Wake us up. Show us some things. Remind us of some things. Nothing new under the sun. Nothing new in this book. But it may be new for one here tonight. It may be new for another and another. Lord, that need to listen on purpose and get what you'd have them to have tonight. Bless, I pray, as only you can in Jesus' name and for his sake only we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach on that subject for a little while tonight. Truth has fallen in the streets. Our Heavenly Father wrote in His book, in Proverbs 12:22, these words. He said, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. God gets glory. God gets delight in truth. Period. Nothing else. In lying lips or other things of that nature, he gets no glory and he's not very well pleased. We've just read this. We're living in an age of lying as no other age since I've been born. Maybe before that if you're older than I am. Especially here in our own homeland. For years as I voted, this is the first year that I have not really wanted to vote at all. But I will. We're watching two candidates in our nation today lie about everything. Are y'all listening?
Amen.
I'm a child of God. And if I am against lying, it's going to be real hard for me to go in there and ride in or push a button or whatever they got for us this year in my area, my region, my district to vote in because of all the lies that's going on, all the other things that are happening. We live in an age of conspiracies. Every time I turn my email on to check email from other churches, missionaries, and other things, there is more conspiracy mess on there than you can imagine. And by the way, if you don't get any, don't log into anything that looks like conspiracy because you're going to get it all. But we're living in an age of conspiracy. We're living in a time of no absolutes. May I tell you, the book we have before us is absolute?
Yes, sir.
We don't have to live that way, but we're living in a time where that people think there's no absolutes that they can hang on to. We're living in a time of irrelevance, if you will, in our nation. We're living in a time of tolerance in our great nation. No sureties, if you will. Not able to be sure about anything anymore and accepting all things as they are, as that's just the way it is. We don't have to do that as children of God. And can I tell you and remind myself tonight even that truth will always be truth. I mentioned it this morning and I wanted to preach about it tonight. Everything else is at least uncertain and at the length a lie. And it's no surprise to all of us that are children of God, because the Bible tells in John chapter 8 and verse 44 and 45 in the Bible, it tells that you're of your, Jesus speaking, he said, you're of your father, the devil. Stop right there. He's talking to the religious crowd in that day. He's not talking to the heathen out there. He's talking to the Jew. He's talking to the religious crowd. I'm talking to the religious crowd tonight. Now, I know you're saved, but we can still call ourselves religious. Not a bad word, as long as you connect it with truth. As long as you connect it with your salvation. But he went on to say that you're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He went on to say this, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. I want you to think about that for a moment. What he's saying is you'll believe the lies of this world. You'll believe the lies of this government. You'll believe the lies of this land. But when I speak truth to you, he says you believe it not. Can I tell you, Christian, that many of us, even though we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, repented of our sin, received Christ into our life, we don't believe all of truth. We don't believe all of the Bible, or the churches that we pastor, the churches that we work in, would not have need of anybody. We would all be busy about God's business. Hello? We'd have no need for the preacher to ever get up and talk about money, because everybody would be tithing. He wouldn't have to beg. Preachers ought not have to beg for anything if it's in the Bible. You say, well, my preacher don't beg. If he asks you and keeps asking and keeps asking you, you can call it what you will, but it's begging. We're trying to get people on board with truth. Trying to get them to just live that life of truth that the Lord had brought to us. You remember the Lord said this, I am the way, the truth, the life. But he also said this, and listen carefully, in John chapter 1. For the law was given by Moses, but he said grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You know, we can talk about truth. It's used 224 different times in the Bible, in that the term truth itself. And I want you to listen to me for a minute. We believe the book to be absolute. We believe the book to be a book of nothing but truth. Amen. Amen. Now, some can say, well, everything that happened to Israel and what God did doesn't all apply to us. In principle, it does. In law, it doesn't. In grace, even though we are forgiven, we are held accountable for those things that we do and those things that we do not. Now hear me well. If we don't contend for that faith once delivered on the saints, or contend for this truth, we're going to lose it.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes,
sir. Yes,
sir. If we don't vote right, I told my people for 30 years as a pastor, do not vote your pocketbook. Vote truth. Vote principle.
Amen.
If we don't vote right and we get the wrong judges in the Supreme Court, you're going to lose your rights as a child of God.
That's right. Yes, sir.
There could come a day where ISIS would not be the threat. The threat would be not having the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
In Amos chapter 8, it talks about a famine. not of water and not of food, but a famine of hearing the word of God. You read it on your own when you go home. Amos chapter 8.
Yes,
a famine of hearing the word of God. Now hear me well. It's not a famine of the word of God, but a famine of hearing the word of God. Jesus ended the churches in the book of Revelation. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the what? Spirit saith unto the church. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
If you and I don't get on board with truth, if we don't obey truth, there can come a day where you don't hear it anymore. Are you listening? I don't have time to go back and develop that. That's another message. You read it on your own, you'll see what I'm talking about. It doesn't mean it won't be preached. It doesn't mean that I won't preach it this week. But it means, as I kind of joked this morning, but it's serious business, it just kind of goes in this ear and out this ear. When it ought to go in and settle in. Are y'all listening? If you're a child of God, you've been born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, truth is in you. Hello? And the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God, shall lead and guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit of God is to lead you every time your preacher preaches into that body of truth that he is trying to get across to you. President Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president, I know I missed him this morning. I like him, okay? He preached what he himself called a sermon to his family and to his staff. Here it is, in short. Don't drink, don't gamble, don't smoke, don't lie, don't cheat. That's a pretty good message, amen? See, he's awful negative, isn't he? Love God, love your fellow man, love truth, love virtue, and be happy. Sounds like a pretty good remedy right there. A remedy for just the same old. You want revival? You can live by that alone and find revival in it. Isaiah chapter 59, the nation of Israel and her leadership and people have sinned horribly and continually without acknowledging their sin and without repentance. I believe today that in our churches, just like yours, the ones I pastor, there are people in that church, number one, who've never ever been born again. I believe, secondly, there are people that will not deal with truth and repent and get sin out of their lives. There's coming a payday. You may not die and go to hell because you're born again, if you are born again, but there is consequences to sin. Their sin in this day that we read had caused God to turn away his face from them, or at the least cause those in their sin not to be able to see his face. I don't know about you, it frightens me that I'll not be able to hear God speak to me anymore. Well, you know, I can get that right later because I can just go to an altar. No. You're missing it. You're missing it. Oh, I've heard God is a God of second, third, fourth, chance. He is if you live long enough. He is if you come and repent. But it's not just like he's going to overlook it and let you get away with it. Hello? You can't have revival without getting what's inside that ought not be there outside, or better yet, under the blood that you were saved by. And then revival can come. God charged them here with violence, injustice, lying, being defiled, verses 3, 4, and verse 13 of that chapter. We'll not read them. No one seemed to care about that. No one seemed to care about the warning from God or God's man in that day. They didn't care anymore about truth. They didn't care anymore about righteousness or judgment, except for the way they defined it and they decided to live it. They were trusting in themselves, trusting in the world around them in that day. They were enjoying before this the blessings of God. They had become alarmingly corrupt. Can I say to you tonight, this is the world you and I live in today. This is our nation. This is Maryland, just like it is in Texas, Dallas, Fort Worth. This is at home. It's around the world in which we live today. Truth has fallen in the street. No one wants truth any longer. Take your Bible, go to Galatians with me. The book of Galatians. And I want you to look with me at the Apostle Paul. And it's amazing to me the things that we can learn from one or two scriptures in the Bible. It's amazing to me how that God deals with people so often, and yet we don't ever listen to what God is saying to us. Notice this, if you will. Look at verse number 16. Well, actually, go back up for just a moment. It's amazing when you read all this. Look at verse 8. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after that you've known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? In other words, he talked to the children of God here. Those have been saved, washed in blood. They've already turned back. You observe days and months and time and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, listen, be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Don't listen to it. I mean, don't miss it. Verse 15. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given me. Look up here. We realize that Paul had problems with his eyesight. He said, you folks that I have preached to, I hope I haven't preached in vain. He said, I preached to you truth after truth after truth after you have been born again. Now you've turned back to the beggarly elements. There's a lot of confusion here and things going on. He said, there was a time when you thought I was someone in your life, someone that helped and blessed you, to a point where you had even taken out your eye and given it to me for what the problems I might have had. But yet, look at the next verse, and you've heard it preached. Verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the what? Listen to me. That's what happens in churches a lot. We love those honey messages from time to time. Love those messages about heaven. Love those messages about grace, about forgiveness, and I do too. But sometimes there has to be messages preached that brings about a sense of who we are. Sinners saved by grace, if you will. And there's some things in our life. I mean, it could be bitterness. I'll get some of them this week. It could be other things that get in our life that cause revival to cease or to become dormant, if you will, and not active in our lives, and if it's not active in our lives, it's not active in our church either. Can I say this to you tonight? Do you really want revival? Do you want it to live on in your life? Then you personally have got to make sure that you can see God's face, which means you've got to repent of your sin, ask God what He wants you to do, where He wants you to become involved, and let God do a work in you where you'll be happy. You'll look forward to going to church. You'll look forward to becoming involved. You'll look forward to people getting saved. You'll look forward to the church growing. All of those things are necessary to keep up that spirit of revival. Now listen to me. Truth had fallen in the streets of that day. America's current blight of moral collapse comes on the heels of spiritual collapse. That's where we are today. Scandals, lies, death, sexual sin, violence in our streets, lies, cursing. I mean, my goodness, ladies and gentlemen, just look at what's going on in our streets today. Yes, sir. I'm not talking about ISIS. I'm talking about those that call themselves Americans. Yes, sir. And then our nation's leader, our presidential candidates, lie, cuss on public TV in front of our children. Sad to say, preacher, it's filtered down to our pews and our chairs in our churches, and I'm talking about our Bible-believing churches like yours. We are truly living in the times that Jesus spoke of, John 3:19-20, when he said this, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and man loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That's why we get mad when a preacher preaches a certain message. We get upset because he preaches truth, and it cuts deep. Truth ought to cut deep. Thank God the truth of the gospel cut deep when you got saved. Listen to me. We've thrown out truth in the streets as children of God. We've traded Holy Ghost conviction for human reasoning. We reason away our sin. Sin's not going anywhere without repentance. We have taken Holy Ghost conviction and said, well, that's just, you know, I'll work with that. I won't do anything about it. That's what I call human reasoning or my choice. We traded compassion for compromise. What do you mean, preacher? A lot of people today want to be compassionate in a lot of ways. And you ought to be compassionate about the lost. You ought to be compassionate about those less fortunate. But now listen to me. Not compassionate to a point where we compromise who we are. We got movements today. Our movement that has moved into this area of compromise that are changing who we are. I'm not changing. I don't want to change. God's done a great work with what we've done in the Fundamental Independent Baptist movement. There's no need to change. And yet people are changing. And it's affecting lives. And it's affecting minds. And it's affecting hearts. And things are changing in those churches. And by the way, when people get tired of hard preaching, they go to those churches. Or they'll go to the other liberal churches that are out there. Why? They don't want to deal with truth. We've traded doctrine for no doctrine. We traded repentance for reasoning. We traded truth for tolerance. You know abortion's still murder?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Y'all still believe that?
Amen.
That's the truth. Abortion is still murder. Whether you believe it's not a matter of the women having rights, and they're arguing about it on TV today. Our government's paying for it. And it's affecting how people that visit our churches think. It's hard enough to get a lost person saved. But if they come in one day, a lot of times people come in, they come in on a day the preacher's preaching on giving. They think, well, that's all church ever taught about, giving. Or they come in one day and the preacher's up here preaching on abortion's murder, like we just mentioned. And they're saying, oh my God, there they go again. Well, yeah, because it's truth. God ain't changing. Bible said God changeth not. His word's not going to change. But you know, ladies, it's not a lady's choice. This is the fruit of the womb is His reward. No room for reasoning in that manner. No such thing as transgender. No such thing. They have to have an operation to have it done. Change the creation of God. You say, what's that have to do with us? Listen to me, if we don't hold to those things, hear me, truth's going to lie dead in the streets. We got to keep it up. Are we different? Yes. And we ought to stay different.
Amen.
We ought to stay different with our standards of dress. We ought to stay different with soul winning. So many people have given it up because it don't work. It don't work because you don't go.
Right.
And by the way, you don't get somebody saved every time you go. And it's not your responsibility to get them saved.
Amen.
It's your responsibility to go after them. It's God's responsibility to save them.
Yes.
And when they reject you, they're not rejecting you. They are rejecting the grace of Almighty God. They are rejecting Christ, not you. But people are giving up today. Transgender is wickedness, ladies and gentlemen. It's an abomination unto a holy God of all creation. Sodomy, still an abomination unto God. Sin is sin. That's the truth. There's all-out attack on this Bible tonight. All over this nation. That's just like when our president running for Republican Party said one night when they asked him about the Bible and he said, number 2 Corinthians says that. He had no idea what 2 Corinthians was. He had no idea what the Bible is. They were using the Bible to market their presidency.
Yes, sir.
That's truth lying in the streets.
Yes, sir.
You and I have got to pick up truth and carry truth to everybody who, not everybody will receive it, but we need to continue to carry it to those who will. And those who will and trust in the Lord are going to be those that we can teach, those that we can disciple, those that we can prepare, and we need to do that and continue to do that, and just like a turning wheel forward, keep doing that until the trumpet sounds.
Amen.
Now, listen to me carefully. I'm a patriot. I'm a Vietnam vet. I'm a big patriot, ladies and gentlemen. I love this flag. Makes me sick to see people kneeling, lying down, whatever. You know what they ought to do? They ought to fire them off them NFL football team. Let them go back to making little money instead of big money. Are y'all listening? Let me ask you a question. My wife and I got to Hawaii, like I was talking about, on our 25th wedding anniversary, and our church sent us. And boy, we had a good time. They paid for the whole trip. I wanted to go out on the USS Arizona. And we did. We got to go out there. Before we go out there, they give you a spiel. And so there may be somebody that would desire to exercise their rights and burn the American flag while you're out there. It had happened. I said, not while I'm out there.
Yeah.
He said, well, you just old sarcat. No, I'm a patriot.
Amen.
I believe when they sent me to fight in Vietnam, sent me over to do my part, are you listening to me? That was my country sending me. And I'm going to honor my country and I'm going to honor this flag.
Amen.
Shouldn't we honor Jesus the same way?
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Amen.
Shouldn't we? Well, let me ask you something. If I threw that flag in the floor tonight and got out there and stomped up and down on it, spit on it, is there somebody in here to get up and put a stop to that?
Yes, sir.
I would hope so.
Yes,
I'd hope you'd beat the snot out of me, amen. But see, I don't have to worry about that because I ain't going to do it.
Amen.
When you don't obey that, it's just like stomping all over that flag up there. If I got out here and physically stomped up and down on that Bible and spit on it, opened the pages and spit on it, whatever, somebody in here would stop me from that. But that ain't going to happen. But now listen to me. You're not tithing. Truth has fallen in your street. You're not going soul winning. Truth has fallen in your streets. You're not reading your Bible daily. Truth has fallen in your streets. You're not supporting your local pastor. Truth has fallen in your streets. If you're not obeying the words of God, the commandments of God, first of all, He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We saw that this morning. But if we're not doing that, it's as if we've thrown the Bible in the street. Y'all listen? Listen, people that take their Bible, and we've all talked about how many Bibles we got. We got many, many Bibles in our home, in our office, or whatever. Some of you carry it in the dash of your vehicle. That's fine. If I were you, I don't like laying anything on top of my Bible. I know I'm weird, but that's just the way it is. Some people do that. I don't mind writing it. I just don't like laying things on it. But I don't like leaving it in the sun in the dash either. And I know that sounds kind of elementary and doesn't matter. It does matter. This is God's Word. Doesn't just contain, you've heard this over and over, it doesn't just contain the Word of God, it is the very Word of God.
Amen.
From cover to cover. This is God's book. This is truth. Every single bit of it. From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, it is God's truth to a lying, scandalous, sinful, wicked world.
Yes.
And we just happen to be beneficiaries of it. When you got saved, you were saved by truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Truth.
Amen.
That's how you did it.
Amen.
That's how God will still do it until He comes again.
Yes.
So let me give you these thoughts tonight. I hope you'll hang on. These are simple, but they are needed badly. Number one, you must recognize that truth will always be truth. Period.
Yes.
No matter the direction of any life, no matter the direction of any country, no matter the direction of any presidency, no matter the direction of any ministry, no matter the direction of any Christian who desire to go a different direction, God's truth in His book will always be truth. It's never going to change. Not going to be in my life. I'm not going to water it down just to make you feel good about it. And I have a feeling your preacher ain't going to do that either. But preacher, I'm sad to say, I know some of our movement have done that. They watered the Word down. I'm not so sure they didn't water it down because they're afraid that it affects them when they stand up and preach it. I don't know. I'm not their judge. Bible said, Jesus said in John 17:7, He said, Thy Word is truth. Talking to the Heavenly Father, He said, Thy Word is truth. Sanctify them, that's you and me, through Thy truth. Sanctify them. When you and I were born again, we were justified. Are y'all listening to me? By faith. Which allowed us later to have the peace of God. But now listen to me. Listen to me. Sanctified means to be set apart. That God can take that which has been sanctified, made holy in Christ Jesus. He can use that vessel in earthen, or use that person in an earthen vessel. That would be you and I. Now I don't know about you, but I want to be used by God. I know my wife and I die, if she's still alive, my boys know, if she's not, they know. That if they put up a headstone or something, or just paint a plaque, whatever, I can move. I don't care. Just put on there faithful to the end. That's all I want to hear. I'm going to hear that. I'd love to see it this side and hear it on the other side. And it's one of those things we call elementary, but it's not. And we get to the other side, and Jesus says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know, it was Jesus who said, "When I come back," or said about Jesus, "When he comes back, shall he find faith on the earth?" I want you to think about that for a minute. It's not the faith by which you are saved, because when he come back, that's already decided. So what faith is he talking about? He's talking about faithfulness. He's talking about the people of God being faithful with those things that are in here that you and I read about, that you and I know about, and we know to be truth, but we're not obeying them, we're not consistent with them, and we wonder why God's not blessing like we know he can. Now listen to me carefully. We need to realize that truth will always be truth, no matter what. In a world where truth is falling in our streets and falling on deaf ears, rest assured and know this confidentially, that this King James Bible I hold here tonight and you hold in your lap is the truth, both now and forever. Amen. Settled in heaven, the Bible says. And let me just say this, repentance is necessary from the pulpit to the pew, and from the president and politics, even to all people of the land, to be made right with God. Bible said his hand is not so short that he cannot reach and help us, or to save us, if you will, or his ear to hear us. It's not that, it's our sin. Our sin. Do you know one person can hold back revival in a church? I got a living example. Had a lady get crossways with me, and I worked with her husband. We roofed together, made good money roofing when I was pastoring in Wills Point, East Texas. She had a son come from the Garland area, Mesquite area, down to the church, got in, and stuff got... Anyhow, made her little boys mad. They got upset. She got crossways with me and my wife. She would literally wait till I got to the door and started shaking hands with some people, and then she'd slip out, slip around, crawl out like a snake. Hear me well. It hurt our church badly. Not long after that, I'm going to say 3 or 4 months after that, she decides one Sunday night, that's it. Out the door, or Sunday morning, excuse me, out the door she went. Sunday night, as I live and breathe, preaching, that's my wife. Sunday night, revival broke out. Nobody said anything. I didn't preach on it. I didn't just look at her every time I preach the message. I don't get up here just to nail one person. I don't get revenge. God take care of the judging. And so, anyhow, you know what she got tired of hearing? Truth. She got tired of hearing the Bible preached in truth. Got tired of the Holy Ghost of God trying to convict her and get her right and for her to repent. She didn't repent. She left the door, went to another church later, got out of there, and they're not even in church today at all that we know of. And by the way, we had tremendous growth after that. Unbelievable. And that was one person. Think of her two, three, four. You're here tonight, and you may be the possibility of not being able to have revival or growth in your church, and you don't want to carry that load? Good. That's why we're here tonight. Amen. To get it off your shoulders, if you will, spiritually speaking. Get it out of your heart. Get it on the altar. Get up and go and serve God. Be faithful to God. Number two tonight, quickly. Now, to realize that truth is truth and it doesn't change. Number two, realize that truth has got to be taught. I told you, it sounds elementary, but it's not. It has to be taught over and over and over and over again. You got to teach it to this age, but you got to teach it to that age right there too. And this little girl back here, it's got to be taught in their classes. It's got to be taught over and over and over, or we're going to lose a generation. Are you listening?
Yes.
Take your Bible, hold a place anywhere there. Go back to Judges. And look with you. You'll understand what I'm saying here. Go back to Judges. Everybody remembers good old Joshua? What a man of God he was. Amen? But now watch. Verse 6, Joshua chapter 2. When Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, watch now, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Do you hear what I said? They lost a whole generation. If we lose a generation, it won't ever come back in this day. It won't. And we've seen it dwindle in our ranks, ladies and gentlemen, over the years. It's gotten lower and lower in attendance in our local churches. You know that to be the truth. In my area in Texas where I pastored, there's churches, as I said, I think earlier this morning, there were churches running 1,500 and 2,000 and 700, 900. I mean, all over the place. Now some of them are down to 300. And it's not because the preacher quit preaching truth. It's because they got tired of hearing truth and they wanted to live and reason out their sin instead of repent of it and get rid of it. Now, not all of them. Some of them may have just decided to go elsewhere. I won't judge them. I'll let God do that, as I said. But there's something wrong when our churches are getting the same truth and they're not receiving it and things are not going well. Something's wrong somewhere. I would hate to be the one who held back revival in my church or the blessings and favor of God on my church or the blessings and favor of God on my family or on my sons and daughters. Are y'all listening? Sin has consequences. And it's not always just you and I that feel those consequences. It could be our kids. It could be our grandkids. My mom and daddy did not serve God for years. They got out of the will of God when we come home from Michigan and back to Texas. I shared this today at his home, and I want to share it real quickly. It just fits here. Mom and daddy got out. Daddy got to Texas. He had to find a job, working on weekends, of course, Sundays. He got out of church. Mama got out of church. And listen to me, they stayed separated months at a time. Months at a time through my teenage years. My mother come and checked me out of Grand Prairie High School when I was in the 11th grade. So I had to go home the rest of that year. Couldn't graduate in my regular class. Had to go home the rest of that year and take care of two of my siblings that were 12 and 14 years younger. And Mom and I had middle-aged crazy or whatever, had kids again. Are y'all looking up here? Listen to me. Kids in my family were affected. My sister, who I love very dearly, who's been married now for a long time, been married to four guys, children with two of them. Met two of her husbands at Billy Bob's Country and Western, whatever thing that is over there in Fort Worth. My other brother, Kenneth, is 19 months younger than I am, and he's an alcoholic. Right before we left to go on the airport, yesterday morning, on Friday night, my younger brother, who is 53 now, came by. He's got cirrhosis of the liver. He probably won't be alive by Christmas. Y'all listen? And if it weren't for the grace of God, I'd have went the same direction. I believe with all my heart God used this lady right here when we met, and her daddy later, when he thought I had to have a full-time job, introduced me to the Air Force recruiter. To get my life in some order to where later I could find the Lord. Are y'all listening? Because here's the thing. I was headed the same direction. The only difference in my three siblings and me is the grace of Almighty God. The truth that was taught me and the truth that I grasped and God used in my life and God is still using my life. Now listen to me. Here's the difference. And you can call it what you say. You're bragging. Yes. On God. I have two sons that are pastoring. I have one son that is the assistant pastor, head of the music program, the media, the radio program, etc., in an independent Baptist church south of Fort Worth. The other two pastor in East Texas. I've got nine grandkids, four of them called a full-time service, two of them. One of them was just looking at Commonwealth. I got four of them that will be going to college in the next 2 years. How'd that come about? How come one of my sibling children are in prison right now? How come the other had two kids killed? One was shot in the face, blew his face off, blew his girlfriend's face off, and his four-year-old boy later on that he had drowned in a backyard swimming pool because everybody was sipping on suds and nobody paid any. Are y'all listening to me? This was people, mom and daddy, I love them, thank God they got back to the Lord before they died, but they had left that thing alone for so many years and their children were the consequences. My daddy was called to preach, and he never followed through to preach. He was called to come back from Michigan in the early 60s, go to Dr. J. Frank Norris' school in Fort Worth, there in Arlington, the old Bible Baptist Seminary. He never went. And I never even knew he was called till the week before he died of cancer. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we have got to teach truth over and over and over and over again, so it's not lost somewhere along the way. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Sorry about that rant, but I had to get it in. 2 Timothy chapter 4. There's too many false preachers today, too many false ministries, too many different types of doctrines, and they get them from everywhere but the Bible. They wouldn't know what true Bible doctrine was if it hit them in the face. But 2 Timothy 4 kind of clears things up for us in this age in which we live. And I'm talking about realize that truth must be taught. Here's how it's teaching us here. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. He tells young preacher here, the young Christian, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you're members of a church. Your pastor is going to preach. It's going to bring reproof and rebuke. Back up to chapter 3 there. Look at verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. There it is. For correction. There it is. For instruction. Notice that reproof and correction comes before instruction. Until you get sin out of your life, you can't be instructed. You won't receive it. Watch now. And then verse 2 again. Preach the word, be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Can't get exhortation and doctrine till after reproving and rebuking. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not, talking about Christians, endure sound doctrine, but at their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The smiley faces down in Houston, Texas are getting a lot of people that are sick and tired of in-the-face preaching. They are. Liberal churches are getting them. In our metroplex, people that graduated from our fundamental Baptist colleges, I know them. I know who they are. They were good men. I don't know why they went the direction they went, but they don't even have Baptists on their names anymore and all this other stuff. And I know it sounds like a conference message, like I said, but it needs to be said, ladies and gentlemen, because it could happen here.
Yes.
Not that he would, but you never know what might happen. Hello? Watch this. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. Verse 4. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. Is that in your Bible? Say amen.
Amen.
That's what we're talking about tonight. Truth. The Word of God. All of it. And we got to receive it as humble believers so that we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look over 2 Timothy chapter 2. Hurry. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at this. Verse 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, speaking to the same young man, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able, watch, to teach others also. In other words, the truth you heard, the truth you've learned, you need to know that, keep that, so you can teach others also. That's this next generation. If you're going to reach the next generation, it's going to have to be with that truth that we're talking about. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 14. In verse 14. But continue thou, he's talking to Timothy again, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Talking about truth. But in verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Don't miss it now, that the man of God, the woman of God, the child of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, God just wants the best for you. He wants the best for your church. He wants the best for your life. He wants the best for your marriage. He wants the best for your family as a whole. Somewhere along the line, if he hadn't already, he will. He'll preach on marriage. He'll preach on family upbringing and fathers reading scripture to their children and family devotions and things like that that are fading in our movement, ladies and gentlemen. And we got kids graduating from our Christian schools going out in the world. Why? So many times our schools are doing well, but our parents are not, and they clash.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
When we had Christian school in both churches I pastored, I told my people, I said, you listen to me. We're going to teach them truth. But if they go home and they don't see it being lived by mom and daddy, we're just beating our heads up against the wall trying to train your children.
Yes, sir.
If he's got people in your Sunday school classes teaching your children truth, and he guards that truth, and they guard that truth, but they go home to a mom and daddy that talks about the preacher on the way home, or talks about church members on the way home, or gets home, hear me, and watches things, does things they ought not. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's what's, let me tell you what's going to happen to children. They'll wait till their time, but when their time comes, they're gone. It's happened to preachers. Oh my gosh, it's happened to preachers. And it's happened to others that I've known for so many, many years. Recognize truth is truth. Recognize the importance of teaching truth over and over. Number three, remember this. Truth is timeless. It don't matter what year it is. I've heard so many things about, well, we're in the 2000s now. Things are going to change. How many remember Y2K? Y'all remember when they had that big thing about Y2K? Some of you look at me like, huh? I know you're younger. I understand that. And man, I mean, we were storing beans and water and everything else. And guess what happened? Nothing. Hang on. Man, they got you wanting to buy survival food now. And some of you have bought it. I just hope you didn't buy it from Jim Baker, because he's selling it on TV after he got out of prison. Are y'all listening? This world's a mess.
Yes, sir.
But the Bible's not a mess.
Amen.
God's not a mess.
Amen.
Holy Ghost not. Jesus not a mess. And listen to me, God's still on the throne.
Amen.
Proverbs 21, you remember that? How he turns the what? The heart of kings and princes. Y'all remember that? That's God. You understand, he could just go, zzz, and Obama's gone. He could just go, zzz, zzz, Obama, Hillary, and Trump's gone. And we bring in somebody like Scott up here in Wisconsin. I like him. I think he's good. Ted Cruz might be all right. No, Ted Cruz ain't all right. I've been thinking very seriously about going into the voting booth in November on the first Tuesday of November. I'm going to vote Carl Ogden. You know what's going to happen? They're going to say, who in the world is that? He's not even on the ballot. Hey, you can write in your own person on there. Everybody go in. If you're not going to vote for anybody, vote. Go out and vote. All right? But vote for yourself. Maybe what we ought to do as Christians is always go in there and say, God. So, you know, I don't know. I'll probably go in and vote for Trump, have to repent, get right with God. And I'll go in and I'll say, Lord, I know I voted for a guy who owns strip joints. I voted for a guy who has casinos all over the world. I vote. That's going to be hard to do. But it'd be a lot easier than voting for Hillary.
Yeah.
Or Bernie.
Or Bernie.
Oh my gosh, this world is in a mess.
Yes, sir.
Truth is timeless. I love Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Been settled a long time ago. And it's settled today as we speak. God's word is never uncertain. God's word is never unsettled. God's word is always determined. God's word is always fixed, if you will. Doesn't move from one place to the other. God's word is immovable. And the Bible tells in 2 Peter 1 that God's word is sure. Boy, I like the fact that it's more sure than anything else in this world, you and I. People change, nations change, politics change, spiritual movements change. A generation may not know God, but God's truth, God's word, and God himself, never going to change. And that's something good that you and I can walk out of here with tonight, knowing that. Well, we read from Jude this morning. Go back to the book of Jude with me. Let's wrap this thing up. Jude, look at verse 3 again. This is your theme. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. The faith there, ladies and gentlemen, is this book. It's the embodiment of truth, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus. I will therefore, listen, put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. Do you understand that God wants to get glory out of your life? God gets no glory out of death. God gets no glory out of sin. God gets glory out of life. He gets glory out of your life, or he doesn't. And you understand that a Christian can spiritually die and sometimes even physically die. We can read in the Scripture where people of God died because of sin. The consequences of sin. We can read in Scripture where people like David, who got right with God, yet his family was decimated due to sin. Are y'all with me? Anybody remember a guy by the name of Samson? Decimated due to sin. On and on and on we could go. And the thing about it is that God is the God that judges. Not me, not your preacher. The Word of God. Listen, the Word of God judges. It brings conviction so that we might be able to get right with God and not suffer the total impact of the consequences of sin. I said this morning, I'm not a mean-spirited preacher. I don't preach as if I want somebody to go to hell or die or whatever. I don't do that. But preach it we must. Truth tears through the toughness of our hearts when it's preached through prayer and compassion. It's called Holy Ghost conviction. And I'm going to close with this, and I want you to listen to me carefully. This is the crux of it all. I said recognize truth will always be truth. Realize that truth must be taught over and over, or we'll do like we did in the day of Joshua. We'll lose an entire generation. Remember, truth is timeless. From the beginning of time, even throughout eternity, we'll be judged by this book here. And probably most important to all of us tonight is this one. Turn to 2 Corinthians 6. We'll be done. 2 Corinthians 6. After saying what we said tonight, this gets down to each one of us personally, and then we'll close in prayer, have an invitation. Maybe God will speak to your hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Talking to Christians here. He said, Paul said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Look up here. A lot of Christians today run more with the unbelievers than they do with the believers. That's a problem. I have family. I told you about them. I love them. They're invited. They can come anytime. They've been. They can come. We like to have them come over for Thanksgiving when we're home, or Christmas when we're home, and that kind of thing. Love to have them there, but I ain't changing who I am. I'm not going to allow drink in my home. I'm not going to allow smoking in my home. I'm not going to allow cussing in my home. I'm not going to allow bad jokes be told in my home. I'm not going to hang around unbelievers in that manner, whether they're family or not. And we read Matthew 10 this morning where we're to make a decision between family and the Word of God, the truth, if you will. Notice what else it says here. And what fellowship hath righteous with unrighteous, and what communion hath light with dark? We could answer, no, no, none, none. Look at verse 15. What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Absolutely none. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, I will be their God, they shall be my people. My last point is this, regarding truth in the temple. Here's the temple of God tonight, right here. Every one of you have the temple. You are the temple of God. You're the house of God. You read Hebrews chapter 5 and on, you'll find out you're the house of God. God the Father is in you. God the Son is in you. And God the Holy Spirit is in you forever. I want you to think about that for a moment. If you're a true born-again child of God, there's got to be something in you tonight that says you're all right or you're not all right. Specifically speaking, it could be a specific sin. And it may not be a sin of any great, terrible thing. It may just be a sin of disobedience, which is terrible in the eyes of God because sin's terrible. We can be disobedient to the things that God has given us to do as children of God in our love toward Him. It could be some wretched sin. It could be anything. We have trouble on all levels today. Pornography. Bad movies. I mean, my gosh, you turn a TV on today, you see dead people walking with blood all over them, somebody blowing their head off. I ain't watching that garbage. It makes me think differently. Hello? But that's what we're facing today. Now, if you don't have a television, you don't watch it, good, fine. That's probably even better. But be careful what your children watch. Because the cartoons they're watching is not like the Roadrunner. Okay? I mean, even Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse are doing things today they didn't do back when they were black and white Mickey Mouses. I'm talking about no colored pictures on television. I mean, it was just old black and white little old box we had. Amen. I'm telling you, we're in trouble today. Truth is falling in the street, and it's no better, as I said, as bringing desecration upon that or the Bible when we disobey the Word of God. The Bible said, I'm crucified with Christ. There it is. I've crucified myself with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now listen to it. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith, the embodiment of truth. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I asked this morning, do you love the Lord? When I ask that again, do you really love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And your neighbor as yourself? Do you love truth? Do you love this book? Do you understand? You've heard it said this is God's love letter to you. Tells us where we come from, how to live, where we're going, heaven or hell, so much in between. Truth. You ought to love it. When I was in Russia, preacher, I'm done. When I was in Russia, I was over 2 weeks when they first opened the doors. And we went to a hospital. While I was in the hospital there visiting, in fact, we got to preach, believe it or not, we got to preach to doctors and nurses. Unbelievable. Took them into a room where they gathered and preached to them, and man, they were so far behind us over there. I'm not kidding you. The toilet areas were the 1940s here, over there at that time. This is in the 90, about 90, 91, I think it was. I went over there. In the hospital, we were preaching and talking to people, and all of a sudden we heard a lady crying. And one of the interpreters was with us, come to me and said, this woman over here wants you to come pray for her son. And I said, okay. So me and the other guys with me walked over to this room where her son was, and she was weeping, and oh, she was begging and begging, and we couldn't understand. Interpreter telling us what she's saying. We go into the room, and there's a man, young man. He's probably in his 30s, if I remember right. I think they said 32, something like that. He was an Air Force pilot in the Russian military. And he wasn't hurt in any kind of military accident. He was in a head-on car crash. Mama wanted us to pray for her son. We went into that room and prayed for that son and spent some time with him. And he could comprehend everything we were saying. We took truth. We took just the very Word of God. Simple truth. Because he's a Russian. He hadn't had the Bible. He didn't know. And God performed a miracle in that room. He got born again. Amazing when you're on your deathbed what you'll do. Kind of reminds me of that one thief on the cross. Amen. He got born again, and she was so happy. Now, she wouldn't do anything, but he did. She's happy because she thought that would be his healing. And it really was. We walked out of the room. We've been gone a little bit, gone down to other rooms, going down. As went down, the mother come running and grabbed the interpreter, and I thought, oh, Lord, what have we done? Go back in, and he had passed away just in a few minutes after we left. Gone. Out into eternity. Heaven or hell. And as best as we know, it was heaven because of truth. Amen. Truth is powerful. Truth is the only thing that will change a life. And I'm not talking about the truth that the world offers. I'm talking about absolute truth. I'm talking about truth that will always be truth no matter what this world does. Truth needs to be taught over and over and over, or we'll lose this next generation. Truth is timeless. It actually was before the world ever was, and it'll be in eternity coming. But it's here with you and me. We have it. And then truth in the temple. You're the temple of God. Is truth abiding in here, or is it being choked because of sin, disobedience, other areas of your life that nobody knows about but you and Him? And He knows. Remember when we said this morning that Peter said to the Lord, Lord, You know us all things. Jesus did. And I said, what the Lord was looking for was for Peter to say that he loved the Lord. For Peter to say it and for the Lord to be able to hear it. Can I say this tonight before the invitation? The Lord's waiting for you to say it. so He can hear it. He said, well, He knows my heart, but He wants you to say it. And He wants to hear it. So at an altar here in just a few seconds, this is the time. Whatever it is. It may not be a major sin. Don't you worry about coming down here and somebody judging. Well, I wonder what they're into. It's none of your business. We don't have to go to a priest somewhere, right? Amen? Our priest is in heaven, the right hand of God. Even though I believe in the priesthood of the believer. But we are going. Listen, He is our high priest. And the Bible tells us we can come into the throne room of God. Find help, peace. When we need it. And tonight, you need to come. Church, you need to come. You need to come and ask God to cleanse you from everything that you know that He would consider sin, so that God can bless you with His favor, so that God can bless your family with His favor, so God can bless your church with His favor. But it's up to you. It's up to you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, Lord, we just try to preach Your word.